Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com. Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Welcome to Commodity Week. This is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio today are Jackie Bakes of the Stuart Peterson Group out of Champaign, Illinois, Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain out of Windsor, Illinois, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Our guest on the program is Jerry Gulke of Strategic Marketing Services in Rockford, Illinois. Our program today is a bit unusual. We simply sat down and started a conversation. We'll join it in progress.
42 bushels, and that doesn't work real well. I think we push the envelope on corn, you're right, in northern Illinois, but I'm not sure about Kentucky. And I know we have a client in Kentucky. He still has 70% of his corn left, and he said he has not planted corn after May 1st than he can ever remember.
Yeah.
And so, but the problem is he put all his nitrogen on. He said, I've either got to switch to a sorghum or plant corn. So there's it'll be interesting.
Whenever I looked at the numbers today, one thing popped out to me just with Informa. Okay.
Yeah.
159.4 yield is what they used for this. And in my opinion, after the spring we had, we all knew we were going to have good weather last year, and we couldn't have had better weather
right.
for most of us after the initial terrible spring.
Exactly.
159.4 at this point is awfully optimistic, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Awfully optimistic. And if you drop that a whole lot with the acreage we're talking, this corn thing gets to be pretty interesting, in
yes,
my opinion.
Yes,
yes. And I met with the WASI board out there, the head of, you know, Jerry Bangi's the head of the WASI board, and we were out there in December, and we even argued about it last year. And they have a belief that if you're not, I think it is 40% planted on corn by, it's either May 1st or May 4th, that he said it's very, very difficult to get above average yields in the United States. And I argued with them 2 years ago because I thought we had a much higher yield, and they came in right. Of course, they put their numbers in, but I think we'll be. I think they'll lower the yield a little bit next week, maybe not much more than a half or three quarters bushel. But I think until they see that crop in October, they probably won't stretch it out much.
Okay. Well, you know, I started the recorder, so let's just continue our conversation here with everybody, and I'll introduce everybody very quickly. Matt Bennett is with us. Matt is at Bennett Grain in Windsor, Illinois. Jackie Bakes is with us. She's with Stuart Peterson Group out of Champaign, Illinois. Kurt Kimmel with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. And you've been listening to, on the telephone, Jerry Gulke. And Jerry is with Strategic Farm Services. He's our guest. And we're just going to continue our conversation here about the marketplace. You started in, Matt, on the numbers that came out from Informa this afternoon. Why don't you go through those numbers just a bit, and then maybe we can have a discussion about the numbers, what the average trade guesses are at this point, and then we can talk about what you think carryover figures might look like.
Well, whenever we look at what Informa came out for their estimate on corn acres, they're at 83.9 compared to the USDA estimate of 85 in March. We were just talking a little bit about how that factors in with their yield of 159.4. That gives you a crop estimate of 12.2. And I guess my argument was that that's probably a little bit optimistic on the yield. You look at soybeans acreage, 78.3 versus the USDA of 76. And I think that's probably fairly close as far as what I'm thinking. You know, and then they raised their estimate on the crop size at 3.3 versus the 3.2 previously. So I'd kind of agree with them on the beans, but I think on corn it gets a little interesting because of the timing of the planting of the crop.
Anybody disagree wildly with those numbers?
Not wildly. I'm not quite as high on the beans. I'm not certain. Maybe, Jerry, you can, seeing that you farm out in the Dakotas, what's the situation out there? I know that the planting window for beans, considering all the flooding and everything else that's going on, is a little bit shorter than what we have here. Do you think they're going to get all the beans planted?
Hey, Jerry, can you switch off your speakerphone into your regular line, too, please?
Yes.
Thanks.
I did a radio show up there today with the Red River Valley Network, and we have clients up there as well. And 20 miles west of Fargo, they haven't turned the wheel yet. So there's, you know, large farmers northwest of course, Grand Forks. They're just now getting started. They're thinking that there'll be pretty good switches from spring wheat to beans and from corn to beans, and I wouldn't doubt that you see a lot of corn switch because, you know, they still had 10% of the corn left this spring to harvest, and we farm in the southern part of North Dakota, and we paid, you know, 60 cents a bushel to have the stuff dried, and we still aren't accepting that too well. So there's a lot of that memory left in there, and they had a frost last year about October 21st, which is about 3 weeks too late, not too late, but 3 weeks later than normal. So I think you could probably see a million acres of beans added in North Dakota at the loss of corn and probably some more spring wheat. And of course, even in our farm, we've already planned on prevent planting. And we will prevent plant the corn, of course, but because that pays a lot more than beans. But I think we'll see a lot more beans planted up there than what they initially intended to. It's just running too late.
Speaking of your farm, you're there in Rockford in the northern part of Illinois. I heard from a LaSalle County farmer this afternoon. Actually, he called on Friday to gripe because the traders, for one, weren't really pushing the price of corn or beans particularly high at this point and haven't panicked yet. And the thought that maybe northern Illinois was moving more than he really thinks it is, he says he's not going to go for at least a week in his area. Are you in the same? And that he doesn't. He said he didn't have 60 acres of corn in yet. And he was a pretty good-sized producer, so they've got nothing in.
Yeah, we had 2 or 3 days of good planting, and then 2 days ago, I think it was now, we planted some rolling ground. I call it the Swiss Alps kind of. It's highly erodible in Ogle County, not very far from Winnebago. And I got stuck with my no-till planter on the side of the hill, and kind of my own fault. It was going uphill, but I'm thinking, well, that water that's on the side of the hill, that doesn't mean anything. And first time in 7 years I got stuck, and water was coming out of the side of the hill. In most cases where we were planting, unless it was sandy or somewhat loamy soil, had any clay in it at all, you could dig down 2 inches where we were planting the seed, and it was not just wet, it was mud, and you could barely float on soybean ground. And we had worked some soybean ground with the field cultivator to get it opened up, but where I no-tilled, it worked fine. But otherwise, I think I saw one other planter, and then we got another inch to 2 inches of rain. So
Wait, there was only one other guy out. Didn't that give you an idea that maybe you shouldn't have been in the field?
Well, I'm always pushing the gun, but we had some soil that worked pretty well. They were sandy loam, but any clay that I had we were going to work it with a field cultivator, and really that was kind of too soon, and so we did the end rows, and fortunately here come the rain. But there's not a lot done. There was some people down at Franklin Grove putting in corn that was friend of mine that was helping a guy do it said it should never have been planted, but he was frustrated. He said, just get it in the ground, get it over with. And I quit when I got stuck because I said, you know, this is nonsense. I might as well wait. And I didn't have fertilizer on it yet, so we can always go the other half with beans. But we're late, and there's a lot of land up there that has not been touched yet, but I'd say of any place, we're probably further along, and if you go west past west of Freeport, a lot of those folks are well on their way. I think the closer you got to Iowa, the better it was for planting.
Kurt, when you talk to your clients, did you hear anybody that's really moved along and finished up or getting very far along? The guys in Iowa, Minnesota were moving quickly early on, but they've been stymied too.
Yeah, it just depends where you're at. There's guys done in Iowa and southern Minnesota and out in Nebraska. Here in central Illinois, there's guys I know are half done in some areas. There's some spots a third done, and there's a lot of area hasn't turned a wheel. I guess my question would be, Jerry, how much of Illinois do you think is going to be planted come Monday afternoon?
We might have gotten 7% done, maybe, perhaps. I think that'd be a stretch, maybe, in addition to what we already had. I'm just being... I really think it's less than that, but I'm thinking I'm usually wrong. People got more done than that, but there were some planters rolling, you know, like I say, west of 39 and further you closer you got to Iowa. down in that Lanark area and so forth, they were running because it's pretty well drained down there. But maybe an extra 5 to 7%. Other than that, I think we're going to be way behind.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the interesting report Monday afternoon from the state of Illinois, because if you go to the great flood year, 1993, mm-hmm. this last week we were 5% done. Then we were 4% done. But this coming week, even the great flood year, we were up to 40% planted as the state goes. So if we come in 10, 15, I think it's going to be quite the thing to the trade.
Yeah, yeah. And the market closed technically like it was, it's finally seeing the light. I talked to a lot of traders beneath us. We're at the Board of Trade was today, and a lot of guys calling, and it's amazing. They've gotten burnt so many times by, well, this is late, and all of a sudden they wake up and we planted 40% of the crop. And the general conception was, up until through today, was, yeah, you guys always talk a bad story, but you always get it done on time. So they still remember last year. So we'll see. I think you're right. If it comes in like that, it's going to shock them. We'll gap higher Monday morning.
Can I ask you a question?
I mean Tuesday, sir.
Yeah, Tuesday. How much of an impact do you think it's going to have that that we're actually going to have a USDA oilseeds report out now on the May report, you know, rather than having to wait till June?
Well, I think that probably gives us the sense of urgency, perhaps, that the USDA sees. They don't have a scheme and device or an agenda, perhaps, but their focus, of course, and their responsibility is to provide the best information for those who plant it and also those that use it. And I'm sure that the crushers are saying, do you see what the rest of the people are saying, and are we going to have a problem with supplies? And I think they want to give us a heads up, and I would be very surprised if it would be a bearish report. I think they're trying to say, you know, this is for real, and we're going to have tight stocks, and you've been forewarned. And then, of course, it carries it into the new crop again, and, you know, they're have reported this 5 million acres of phantom acres that may not have been getting get planted in their acreage report in March. I spoke with the economist, the Secretary of Agriculture's chief economist, Dauber, and he said, you know, you got to think, he said, by now some of these acres are coming back in. And that was about 2 weeks ago. So I wouldn't be a bit surprised that I don't think they're going to change the acres. I don't think they have a way of doing that right now other than guesswork. But I think they'll look at it and say, you know, we got to buy some acres in here, and it's not only going to be tight now; it could be tight next year as well.
Jerry, whenever you look at the obviously the old crop situation in soybeans is definitely very tight. I think, you know, there could be a case stated for new crop not being quite as tight. Do you think there will be a large spread there? And how would you approach your new crop sales? I've got a lot of guys now, after we've had such a nice rally the last couple months here, you know, they're saying, what should we be doing about new crop beans? But, you know, base is pretty wide, and I've been discouraging, I guess, cash sales at least. How would you tackle this bean market?
Well, we've been tackling it, and I can tell you from our standpoint, for clients we have very little sold. We still have actually 40% of last year's beans, having had them hedged once we bought them back in December, but that's kind of a phony number because everybody's got to pay bills. But if this was really something that if you didn't need to sell it quite a long time ago, we would have it unhedged. But we're about had nothing sold for new crop beans, hedged or at any rate. And we bought some calls the other day. We bought some July calls saying, all right, if this thing really gets tight, we'll buy the $11 and sell the 12, or buy the 10-80s. I've forgotten exactly which ones we purchased. The 10-80s, I think, and sold the $12 ones because sometimes farmers get a little bullish and they want to own something. And I said, well, for the spread, let's do that. It picks up some of the money. But we kind of did that to the point where, next week, we'll see how the weather is, that would allow us to sell some new crop beans and still be long and only risk about 30 cents. And I think now's the time to start to bleed in some of these prices that we've got and start selling in increments of 5 and 10%. I always look at it and say, when in doubt, sell something. You know, sell a semi-load and then find out that, gosh, that's the worst thing I ever did, and glad you didn't sell the other 50 semi-loads or whatever. But I don't think we dare underestimate how this may evolve into, is it going to stop raining and not rain anymore, and it's going to be too late for corn and we're all going to go to beans, or is this trend going to continue to where we have a problem with soybeans being late as well? And nobody's talked about that yet because that's a ways off.
Well, wait a second. Let me make sure I've got you right. So you're a willing seller on the cash side, but you're covering this is for new crop, but you're covering
an old crop.
But you're covering an old crop.
Yeah, in July, that's the one that's probably the story. And I tell you, I'm a little. I don't want any more. I really don't want anything to do with a long, as a farmer, a long July, short November type of deal in the futures, because that could. I don't trust China really as any more now than I did maybe 10 years ago. They buy 45 to 50% of all the beans in the world. They've got a surplus, I guess, or bought the reserves in the world. They're stockpiling. You know, they did it to us in the soybean oil in March of last year, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised at some point in time that they start to roll some of these and saying, all right, I won't take it in July, I'll take it in November, and maybe we get November goes up just because of the reverse spreading. I think we need to watch this very carefully, and if the market decides to that we are going to move into more beans are going to increase in acres, we'll be able to do it with some technical signal. And what I usually use is, of course, you'd like to see a key reversal down or something, but we had a reversal in old crop beans yesterday and then turned right around, went back up, or 2 days ago and went back up again. But I like to look at it on a week-to-week basis, and we're deciding information on a week-to-week basis, really, with planting and how late it is and what we're going to do. I think at any time that November soybeans close below the previous week's low, I'm gonna book some beans, because that tells me that we've now decided as a group of traders and around the world that what we thought was reality last week is now not a good buy anymore. I no longer want to own beans above last week's lows. That would bother me, and I think that would mean that we're going to have to risk 30 or maybe 30 cents a bushel on beans, or maybe 40 at least to start initially. And if you look back, we've come a long way, and you hate to give up some of that money, but I wouldn't want to sell into this thing with a futures market and have to come up with a margin call for 50 cents a few days later.
Right. So if I'm understanding you correctly, and
I want to
get from the rest of the crew here where they feel this, where they feel like we are.
Yeah.
And we'll start, Matt, with you, because you said you're discouraging cash sales at this point. But hang on just a second so I got this right. So what you're telling me, Jerry, is that you think the explosive power is in the front end or in the old crop, and that you're scared of new crop yet, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Just because of the reverse spreading, and I'll give them a little in the basis, because if we gravitate more acres into this, and I know we need 2 million acres more, but if this weather is wet next week, then somebody in the Board of Trade and a lot of them are going to start to believe that we could buy a lot of bean acres. Mother Nature could buy them for us.
And I totally agree with what Jerry's saying, and it's for this reason. I'm not encouraging farmers to sell fall delivery beans, just, you know, like a cash sale.
Right.
What I'm encouraging, though, is some sort of a pricing strategy. Like I would say a hedge window, where maybe they're buying a put and then selling a really high price call. And you know what? If beans go to $13 or $14, then fantastic. We'll sell the cash beans at $14. You know, pay the margin call and be done with it. And that's the way I'm approaching the bean market.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's exactly the same thing that I've been doing. Other than I do a small twist to it, I have been doing some bear put spreads with a sold call well above the market, telling my clients, pray for margin calls. That's what we want.
Well, I'll tell you, it's dealing with these folks every day, it's a lot of them went through that last year. And
a quick note here, Jerry and Jackie talked just after the show and agreed the strategy they're discussing here would not result in big margin calls. Jerry just didn't understand exactly the strategy that Jackie is discussing.
With all this, and there's a lot of brokerage businesses that didn't make it, you know, and because of that. So I think we have to be careful. I can't conceive that anybody would want to pay more than $12 a bushel for beans, but there's a group out there that, and I heard one talking the other day. He said, well, just think, what if Russ comes in here? Why, we'll see $20 beans. He's trying to convince doctors and lawyers to buy beans, I think. But that's the mentality that's out there, and that scares me a little bit, that the speculator could just jump on this and say, well, look at last year, you know.
One thing we've been doing is recommend 100% on put coverage. That's the simplest way to go. A producer knows where he's at. If the market goes higher, you can sell cash beans. But we all know that a lot of these producers do not use futures or options, so you have to give some cash sell recommendations, because they won't touch a hedge or put. So, you know, we do have to make some recommendations on the way up to move some cash no matter what. But my next question would be, what about the corn side of the equation?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
We've not sold anything yet either in the corn very much, 10%, I think, cash sales. And I think if there's going to be a story coming, it might be in that corn. And here again, I have nothing. Gosh, you look at monthly, you look at weekly, you look at daily. I expect some volatility, but I think the corn market, it would be I'd be even a little more difficult in selling the corn because of what, if you look at the technical stuff today, and for the lack of anything else, you got to sometimes look at the charts. And fundamentally, you can make $100 an acre selling the corn or more. But we broke out of a kind of a pennant formation this week, and I wrote in DTN that either this is the beginning of something really good, and we head for $5, and those numbers are kicked around again. And or this was a master fake out, and we'll have to let the market tell us, and certainly Sunday night we'll know. But if you look at each one of the commodities out there, crude oil, you look at the equity market, you look at rapeseed, you look at bean oil, meal kind of had a disappointing day, but bean oil, it looks like we're starting to form patterns, and the equity market, of course, is good for us. It looks like a lot of people are believing that maybe we have seen the worst. Crude oil is breaking to the upside, it appears. And so we have all these outside markets that are supportive to us. And what we're talking about here is what will our grain prices be worth next year at this time when we're talking about the crop that we planted and grew. It's a futures market. And what will the world look like? Are we going to buy back some of that? What did we lose? 600-800 million bushel loss in corn demand. What about next year? Are we going to have a carryover that's less than this year? And I think that's what the market's looking at, is that the possibility of, what are we going to see next year at this time? And that's what we're going to be trading, I think. And they're looking way ahead of us, I think.
Real quick, Jerry, I just want to ask you, today Informa said 83.9 on acreage. USDA said 85. What do you think on corn acreage, given, what you were saying earlier about the switch up in North Dakota? I know there's potential for that elsewhere, but, what do you think we have, I guess, overall for an acreage? Is it 83.9? Is it lower?
Well, we did a survey, and again, about 2 years ago, we hit it dead on, 91 million acres when everybody was looking for more acres, but we were... It had the exact number that USDA is. And we've been pretty close the last 2 years because we work with some of the better information clients, I guess, out there. And this year I could not believe what I saw. I thought we were going to be a lot higher in bean acres and a lot lower in corn acres. And lo and behold, we came in at 84.5, which USDA is at 84.97. And I think we may come out of this pretty close. I don't think we're going to reach the USDA's numbers around 85 million. I think we're going to be about 500,000 less than that, maybe more, depending on, I didn't anticipate being this wet. But if that's the case, and we do nothing more than last year's yield, which, that's 154 bushels perhaps, giving us not very much increase in feed and ethanol staying pretty stable, and they've been right about the ethanol usage. The USDA has been sticking their guns to it. We've got carryover at a billion or less, and I think what the market will try to do is build in a weather premium to say, all right, what kind of cushion do we need to put in there just in case now it gets warm in July and August, and all this corn that's in the central Illinois that's now a week or two late gets into this hot season. I don't think they're going to allow us to see it go down very far. So I'm looking at a pretty tight situation in corn as well into next year. And I think if we're underestimating anything, maybe it's the export demand for next year may come back. And again, it hinges on the demand side of this. And so we're at 84.5, and even at 156.9 yield, That gets us down to around a billion or a billion one, and that's not a lot of room, not a lot of wiggle room.
Hey, let me back you all up just a bit. So within the last month, we've thought that there was an awful lot of corn left in the bin out in the field. The farmers had it. Are they going to just leave it there and wait it out? I mean, they've been known to hold it for a couple of years. Right?
Yeah.
Well,
it's true.
Does anybody disagree with that?
No.
The answer is that's
no.
True,
no.
Right? So I've talked on the shows quite a bit about what happens in July and August. What if, is there still that possibility? We drop like a rock thinking it's going to come out, and it doesn't. And what do we do? Well, then we've got whatever's left in the bin to add to your carryout. Are you right or are you wrong? And And maybe we'll start to hear. Jackie, you wanted to talk
about
this.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that's what's been dogging the corn market. I think traders are very much well aware of the fact that the corn is sitting out there. You know, when you watch the National Corn Cash Index, corn goes up a nickel, the price goes up a nickel. Corn goes down a nickel, the price goes down a nickel. It tells me that there's not much corn coming to town.
Right.
And so it definitely is in the background, but, you know, that's the wild card because you don't know. If they've got enough cash, they can sit on it.
Well, that's just it. They've had a couple of very good years. They may be willing to and capable of sitting as long as they put the bins up, and there's an awful lot of silver out there, it looks like.
We've seen more movement the last couple of weeks than we've seen in quite some time, though. And I do think that there's some guys getting, you know, to where they – a lot of guys want to get stuff moved before it gets warm. I mean, flat out. We all know that. Yeah. But I do think, you know, with what Jerry's saying, what we all agree with, if this weather pattern stays the way it is, I think guys realize this corn thing could get really interesting. So I think they will be a little tighter holders. But, you know, I think if they get a chance to sell it for what they deem a decent price, you get over $4 again. You know, a lot of guys are going to go ahead and part with it, I believe, before it gets warm.
Yeah, is $4 still considered a decent price at this point? I mean, today?
It depends on who
you
ask.
Now, when you talk to most guys.
Well, when you get to $3.98, they'll start talking $4.25.
Right. Well, I think one of the places we won't see corn come out, you know, and even though we've lost cattle feeding, we've lost hog feeding, is what normally happens with my guys is, you know, they'll start to sit on the corn that they would normally move.
Right.
You know, if they don't get it planted. And so that'll be some of the corn that won't come forward.
Right. I think one of the things that, you know, we haven't talked about is maybe the guy that's going to use our corn, can he afford to pay that? Now, the ethanol guy may be able to with the crude oil going up and gasoline going higher, but certainly a livestock guy is in a world of hurt. And I remember, again, it kind of haunts me when I was in Washington talking with the WASI people, I had mentioned to him, I said, you know, if you understand what high-priced fertilizer is doing to us? And they said, yes. And I said, can you do anything about it? And he said, absolutely not. He said, we talked to the Fertilizer Institute, and they say, if the American farmer doesn't want it, we'll sell it somewhere else. And that, now that didn't happen necessarily this year. And I said, you know, we could see $5 corn. And I said, if that happens. And he said, yes, Jerry, but remember this. He said, there's nothing you can do with $5 corn. You can't eat it, you can't export it, and you can't burn it. You can get it, Jerry, but you're not going to sell it very long.
Any final word from everybody? Maybe we'll get a final word from you, Jerry, and then we'll go around the horn.
You know, it's a son of a gun trying to manage the risk on these markets because you can be wrong so quickly in soybeans especially. And so I think we start dribbling. I like to start dribbling out, so to speak, selling some cash sales. And when I get to 40% sold for what I would think would be an average crop on in the cash market, And what I've got planted, that's when I start using futures and options. And of course, that's kind of our focus right now. And we may start beginning to do that in soybeans if it stays wet. With corn, the way the technical action is, I guess I'd want to see a 12 or 15 cent drop in corn and say, you know, this was a fake out last week, and give the market some time to room and let it tell us what it wants to do. I think.
Kurt Kimmel.
When you look at the supply-demand balance sheet, each category is highly variable. There's a high degree of risk. You know, you got weather on yield, you got feed demand, you got export demand, you got ethanol demand. I've never seen so many factors that can shift that bottom line so big.
Jackie Vicks.
Well, I think that what you've really got to do is sit down and know whether you need to sell anything. If you're sitting on old crop, we've had some really good rallies in this marketplace. If you know you need to sell them, Make some sales out there and get yourself secured. You can always re-own it.
And Matt Bennett.
Well, I think there's a lot of guys that are very nervous right now and a lot of guys that are uneasy about the way this spring has gone, and I just hope they keep it in perspective. We've had a couple of really good years behind us. You know, if I was going to be a little more bullish one or the other, I'd be a little more bullish corn right now.
And that's this May 8th edition of Commodity Week. Our special thanks go to Jerry Golke of Strategic Marketing Services out of Rockford, Illinois, and our panelists in studio, including Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Jackie Vakes of the Stuart Peterson Group in Champaign, Illinois, and Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain in Windsor, Illinois.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333 and by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.